and why it matters. So have you ever like had your hopes fulfilled? Like you really wanted something and it like followed through? I have a little story that of a time when that happened to me. So once me and my dear friend Claire Caldwell, who was in this audience, we were on our way to CFL to be on staff. She was going to be on Service Corps. I was going to be an alumni. And we had just been at this track, state track meet. I was going to say tournament. Like, that's not right. State track meet for like all day. We were like super sunburnt and like really hungry. And we're like, you know what would hit the spot right now? Chipotle. Yes. And there was like a longing in our stomachs that nothing could satisfy except for Chipotle. And we're like, you know, we could go to Subway. We're like, no, Chipotle. Like any Chipotle lovers? Anybody like it? Yeah. I think it's like unparalleled. And so we're like looking on Google Maps and it's like, oh, it's like really far away. Maybe we shouldn't go. We're like, no, we need it. We're going to go. And so we get off the highway on our way to CFL and the GPS is taking us like this pretty long route. We're like going through this little dinky town and we're like, is this even on GPS? Like, where are we going? And we were like kind of doubting ourselves. And then we see it. The beautiful establishment of Chipotle, and we get in, and we get our food, and we go to the car, and we have it on our laps, and we pray, and just a little tear just comes down, a tear of thanksgiving for Chipotle and the gift that it was. And so that day, our hope was on Chipotle, and our hope was fulfilled, and I can still taste it, like, right now, you know? And so, yeah, that was, like, a good time when hopes were fulfilled, but have you guys ever had, like, where you hope for something, and it did not get fulfilled or turned out as you wanted? I think a lot of us had times like that during quarantine. Sometimes during quarantine, you get desperate and you do things you shouldn't. And so one day my sister will go unnamed, we were sitting on the couch and she was like, I want bangs. And I was like, I'll give you bangs. And I was like, I've never cut hair before, except that one time I cut yours 5 years ago and that did not turn out well. So with that great track record, I'll give you bangs. And so we talked about it a little bit, and then my mom was like, Grace, you should watch a YouTube video first. And I was like, I'm good, Mom. Like, it's just bangs. You just go straight across. It's easy. And so we get settled. We go to the bathroom. I get the scissors out, and I'm like, I'm kind of nervous. And I start cutting, and it was okay. I think what I did was, like, I straightened the hair first, instead of like letting it be curvy. And so I was like, oh, this is real long. This will be good. And then like it kept on going up. And I was like, what have I done? What have I done? And when she looked in the mirror, she was like, you ruined me. What have you done? And she realized that day that she did not, in fact, want bangs. And so, you know, she trusted in me and what I could do and my abilities. And I let her down. The hope was disappointed. So people have a lot of ideas of what hope is. Rory might say he hopes it doesn't rain during a fest. I might say I hope to win the volleyball tournament, which would be true. And so you might think, is hope just like wishing or wanting something? Or is it deeper than that? One example of hope, like I mentioned with my sister, is trusting someone to help you. You trust in what they can do for you. You trust in their abilities. So for me, one example is if I want to win the volleyball tournament, I call my brother Josh and I say, hey, I need you on my team because you are 6'6" and you're a beast. And so I trust in his abilities in volleyball to help me win. You know, I hope in him. And if he were to be on my team and we would lose, my hope would be let down, right? And so, yeah, again, hope can be trusting in someone to help you. Hope is also what you desire. In my story with Claire about Chipotle, we desired Chipotle. And that was what we were thinking about. We were like focused, like a one-track mind, you know? So what you hope in is what you, like, long for. Another example of that would be something from our alumni corps experience. So our first 2 weeks on alumni corps, we had catered food. And so that sounds nice, but there's some pros and cons. And so pretty soon into the catered food experience, we were realizing, like, we're not a fan of this stuff. Like, you'd get in line, you're like, oh, I'm not a huge fan of this. And so they decided to have us actually cook our own meals after those 2 weeks. People are, like, breaking out their mom's, like, famous recipes of, like, chili and, like, quesadillas. We're having, like tacos and, like, spaghetti, and it was so good. And so I would always hope in supper when we were having good suppers. And so I'd be out with the girls, and we're pulling weeds in the heat with our friend Nancy, this little old lady. And I'm like, guys, it's so hot out. I'm like, what do you think we'll have for supper tonight? And we'll just talk about supper the whole time because we're hoping in it. We're thinking about it because we desire it, you know, like we look forward to it. So hope is something that you look forward to and you desire. It occupies your mind. So obviously, it's kind of silly to hope in supper because it's going to likely let you down. It could be burnt, could be late. I know when I make supper, I let myself down a lot because I burn, you know, eggs, water, what have you. Just ask my siblings. But the point is, you know, what you love, you hope in. If I love supper, I hope in it and I think about it. So think about this for a second. What gives you hope? What do you look forward to and focus on? What do you expect to receive something from? What do you know, like, won't let you down in your life? Maybe you hope in yourself. You hope in what you can do. You hope, hey, I'm a good student. I know I'll do well in school. I hope in that. If I can't do anything else, I know I can at least be a good student. Or I'm a good athlete. I hope in my volleyball season because I love volleyball. Or I hope in basketball and, like, the chance to get to do that with my life. But the thing about hoping in yourself is you can let yourself down. You can let yourself down in your achievements and your academics. You can even let yourself down if you hope in being a good person, because we all mess up. You do things that you regret that make you ashamed, right? And so you can't hope in yourself. That's not very steady. Maybe you hope in your family. Maybe you have a great family and you really receive a lot of love from them. You hope in, like, what you can receive from them in the fun times you have together. But I happen to know each and every family that we all come from is not perfect. Your parents can let you down because they are also imperfect, even though they love you. You can let yourself down. And so our families, they're wonderful. We love them. But can they really be the source of our hope, the foundation of that? How about your friends? Do you hope in your friends who are always there for you? I know a lot of us, our best friends are here. Like, these are times of reunion and, like, joy because you're like, ah, I haven't seen you in a whole year. And I just live for this week at CFL when I have those great friends. Anybody? Yeah? That was always me. But can you put that hope there? How many of you this year, when so many things were happening, when so many things were canceling, when schools were closing and parishes, how many of you hoped in CFL for the summer? Like, I just hope CFL doesn't close. They can't close. I need to go to CFL, you know? Because you want something constant, something you can go to and know it's going to be there. And I'm so, so glad that we're all here for CFL. But even CFL could let us down. What if CFL did close? Then your hopes would be disappointed, wouldn't they? Or if you didn't have the type of experience you thought you would, your hope would be let down. So I think we see that all of these things are changing. And we can receive a lot from them, and they're wonderful things. But those can't be the foundation of our hope. And so where do we receive our hope? Where do we gain our hope from? It seems like hope is lost in the world right now in so many ways. We have our churches closing down, or they're barely offering us the sacraments. We have schools closing down and all these summer camps. I know for a lot of high schoolers, it's so hard to find a job because everything is, like, booked. Our country is in, like, turmoil with all these riots happening. We feel like there's no peace and safety. It seems like, when are things going to get better? When are things going to go back to normal? It seems like hope is lost. So what do we do when everything around us seems like it's failing us? Our verse of the week is Hebrews 6:19, and it says, hope anchors the soul. Hope anchors the soul. So what does an anchor, like, do? What's its purpose? Anybody? To hold a boat down. What happens if there's no anchor on a boat? Kelly? Yes. So an anchor keeps a boat stable, keeps it focused, and it prevents it from drifting. If it doesn't have an anchor, it goes yee. If it doesn't have an anchor, it just drifts. Wherever the wind blows it, it just goes with whatever it's around, right? It doesn't stay stable. A boat can't just choose to not move. It needs an anchor to keep it steady, right? And so a ship with no anchor does not have the strength to resist the wind. So hope is supposed to be the anchor to our soul, to keep us steady from moving as the wind blows us in life, to keep us firm and strengthened. The Catechism gives us a deeper meaning of hope. It's not just wishing something would happen or wanting something to go your way. It says, hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness. Placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help and grace of the Holy Spirit. So in smaller words, that basically means hope is focusing on God to help us instead of ourselves, our parents, our families, the world, our friends, those around us. By hope, we count on God's strength and his help, and we believe that he will do what he said he will do. We believe he will take care of us, and he will love us. So as you probably know, we're called to hope in Christ, not in others, but in Christ. And he's the anchor that keeps us steady. My favorite hymn is In Christ Alone, and it says in the opening line, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Because Christ is the only one who can truly be our hope. We're called to hope in Christ, but we can only hope in him if we know him and love him. As I mentioned earlier, you know, that Chipotle story, we hoped in Chipotle because we knew it would satisfy us. We knew it was like going to be what we needed and it would take care of us in a sense. It would take care of that hunger in our stomachs, you know? And so if we're going to hope in Christ, we have to know him. You can't hope in something you don't know. If we don't love him, how could we hope in him, right? And so really, hoping in God means knowing God. Because it's not just hope as an idea, it's a person. Jesus is hope to us. And so if we root our hope in Christ, then it's unchanging, no matter what happens to us. I recently, actually, just a second. So Jesus promises, Jesus is our hope because he gives us eternal life through heaven. And that's what gives us hope in the world. It gives us purpose for every day, for every suffering, for our trials. Jesus's life is our hope because it gives us heaven. So I recently heard this Father Mike Schmitz talk. Any Father Mike Schmitz fans in the house? Yes, so good. And he was saying, you know, imagine this. What if you died and you were with God before the gates of heaven? And God says to you, hey, why should I let you in? Why should I let you into heaven? And Father Mike said, you know, what would your answer be to that question? Why should I let you into heaven? Think on that. Does anyone have any ideas of like what you might say to God? What could you possibly say? Why should I let you into heaven? Claire?
I've given you my all.
I've given you my all. Yeah. Noah?
Because I want to be with you forever.
I want to be with you forever.
Because of your mercy and my confidence in you.
Because of your mercy and my confidence in you. What's your name again?
Braden.
Braden. Let's hear for Braden. That's the right answer. Those first two answers were good. Because I want to be with you forever. I've given you my all. But is that enough? See, if we say that answer, although that's beautiful, that would be hoping in ourselves. If I say, God, you should let me into heaven because I love you and I tried my best. That's saying, this is what I did. I love you. I tried my best. That's not enough to reach heaven. Because there's this gap between us and between God through the impact of original sin, you know, and we can't cross that ourselves. And that's why Jesus Christ was sent to save us. Jesus desired you so much that he chose to die on the cross, not out of anger or out of feeling like he had to do it for you, but because he loved you. And he said, you are worth it to me. I would do it over again. You are so worth it. I want you in heaven. And so I will gladly take that cross for your sake. And so our hope is in the cross. The cross is what gives us confidence because he died taking that punishment, what we deserved for our sin, upon himself so we can be with him in heaven. And so it is what Jesus did that wins our battle and gives us hope when we had no hope. It seems kind of like the cross, like what Jesus did, was a time of no hope, though. When Jesus died on the cross, it was like all his followers were like, we know he's real. We've seen him work miracles. He brought Lazarus back from the dead. He healed the blind man. We're going to follow Jesus. We believe in him. And then what happens? He gets tortured and killed on this cross. And all his disciples leave him. And his mother and his close friend John are at that cross. Think about being at that cross. What happened? Like, we thought he was God and he died. Where's our hope? How could this ever get better? They bury him in the tomb. And it seems like the one person we thought could do everything for us has died. Where is he now? He loved us so much. He would look into your eyes and he would see you and know you and love you. All hope was lost, it seemed. But as Christians, we know that wasn't the end of the story. Because what came next? Does anybody know? What came after the cross? The resurrection. I'm glad a couple of you know, at least. I'm happy to share the good news with you. The cross isn't the end of the story. Jesus rose from the dead on Easter. I remember when I was younger, as in like 2 years ago, I was like, okay, so like I know Jesus died on the cross and that's really important because he saved me from my sins, but why does it really matter that he rose from the dead? Like I know it's nice, but does it matter, you know? And I really have learned a lot about it through God just teaching me about it in my life. The resurrection is important because it gives us hope. Jesus experienced those sufferings, and we know if we go through hardships, if we go through hard relationships or times where we feel hopeless, times of pain or of suffering, that we are with him on the cross because he has also suffered. But by rising from the dead, Jesus shows us that that's not the end. Suffering is not the end. The pain you experience in your family, in your friendships, in your life, that's not the end of the story because the resurrection is the end. Jesus conquered death, showing that death is not the end for us either. Death is something that's impacted a lot of us. And when someone dies, it's easy to feel that there's no hope. It's easy to feel like my heart is so broken. How could I love someone again when this has happened to me? It's easy to wonder how it could get better. But the resurrection shows us that death is not the end of the story. 1 Corinthians 15:55 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Because of what Jesus did, we have hope in those moments. We have hope of heaven. We have hope of new life. Hope conquers fear. Hope conquers death because hope gives us new life. So even in those challenging times, we have hope in what Jesus has won for us, for heaven, but also for today. Because Jesus doesn't call us to just say, oh, well, life is going to be hard, but at least in heaven it'll all be better. He calls us to new life today and now, to rise to new life in him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." We're new because Jesus wants to raise us from the dead. One of my favorite songs about the resurrection is by Matt Maher. Any Matt Maher fans? I'm a fan. It's called "Because He Lives," and we're actually going to get to sing it later. But it says, "I was dead in the grave. I was covered in sin and shame. I heard mercy call my name. He rolled the stone away." And so when it talks about being dead in the grave, you might think, well, it's talking about Jesus. He was dead in the grave. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about you and me. By our sin, we were dead in the grave. It was hopeless for us. We were covered in sin and in shame. But Jesus calls our name by calling mercy for us. And he freed us from our tombs. And so just like Jesus has risen from the dead, he calls us to rise with him now, to have new life, not just from thinking or believing that Jesus exists, but from knowing and loving Christ himself, the person of Christ, and having relationship with him. This week, we're going to encounter Christ, who is our hope. We're going to go deeper with him. You're going to discover who Jesus is or rediscover relationship with him and the hope we have through him. But I do want to mention that even though we have hope, that doesn't mean life is easy. Jesus didn't tell us that if you believe in me and trust in me, if you count on me, life's going to be easy. But he did promise he would be with us. I think there's a lot of people here, especially through our time of hardship with just the virus and what's been going on the past few months, when you've had times when you wondered if God was there, or if he was there, if he cared about what you were going through. If he could do something about what was happening in the world, you wondered, God, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just change things? There have been times when it seems hopeless. Even if you're trying to pray and you're trying to trust God and you're doing all the right things, it still can feel like things aren't easy and things aren't going well. But I have a story that illustrates how we can have hope when it's hard. In Genesis 29, we hear the story of Jacob. And Jacob desires to marry the daughter of Laban. Her name is Rachel. And he thinks she's beautiful and he wants to marry her and spend his life with her. And so Laban says, if you work for me for 7 years, you can marry my daughter. And Jacob's like, easy, I'll do it. 7 years of working, and it seemed like so fast to him. And he marries her, but he was tricked by Laban. And Laban actually had him marry his other daughter, who was Leah. And in the Bible, Jacob remarks that he thought Rachel was beautiful, but Leah was less beautiful to him. He didn't love her like her sister. And so he was tricked into marrying someone he didn't want to marry. And so he works 7 more years, and then he marries Rachel as well. So he has Rachel and Leah as his wives. So Leah's that forgotten sister who's compared, who is seen as less beautiful, less important to her sister Rachel. She was the one he didn't want, but she was the one he married through the trick. And so Rachel can't have kids, but Leah can. And she's like, hey, I will get Jacob to like me and love me as his wife because I'm able to bear him children. And so she has a child and she names him, in the anticipation, she names him Reuben. And she says, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. And she's hoping, placing her hope in Jacob, saying, he will love me now. He will love me now. But he didn't. Her second son, she named Simeon and said, because the Lord knows I am hated, he has given me this son. So she just feels unloved and hated. For her third son, she says, now, this time, my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. She kept on hoping her husband would love her, that she would be seen as important instead of just second best to her sister. But she kept on being disappointed and let down. She was counting on him and expecting it from him, but she was let down. And I think we've all been in that situation when you feel let down, when you feel unloved or rejected. Or maybe you're important, but not as important as that person, as that sibling, as that friend. And you're just hoping for someone to notice, for someone to care for you. And so Leah felt these feelings, but she learned the secret to hope. Leah decided to have hope from something constant instead of from her husband, Jacob. Her circumstances hadn't changed, but she bore a 4th son. And she had this heavy cross still of being unloved by her husband, but she decided to take hope in the Lord. She realized God is good all the time, even when life seems like it's not as good. And so what Leah did is she named her son Judah. And Leah said, this time I will praise the Lord. Nothing changed after she had those 3 sons. It was still the same life, and it was still very hard. But she chose in the storm, despite all the hardship, to say, even though I don't like this and this is challenging, I will praise God. That doesn't mean I'm going to be happy. That doesn't mean I'm going to have an easy life. But that means I will trust that God is with me still. I will trust that he has a plan. I will trust that he wants new life for me, even if this is challenging. And so many of us have crosses and burdens we've brought to CFL, and many of us are longing to set them down, to just have a break, to feel loved by Christ. And as we encounter Christ, who's the source of our hope, I just invite you to place those burdens before him, to give it all to him. And even though you're facing trial, to say, it's been challenging with Corona. It's been challenging being home with my family. Or I've had some strained relationships that have been really hard with my parents or with my siblings, and we're home every day and we never leave. And I just want to go to school or go to basketball practice or get out, you know? On those hard days and these hard circumstances we're experiencing, I invite you to say, this time I will praise the Lord. Even if we're in this storm, I will choose to have hope as the anchor of my soul. Hope in Christ. Christ who loved me enough to die for me, but who also loved me enough to rise for me, to conquer death for me, to conquer my sin so I'm free from it, and to give me new life. Because when we have hope, we have freedom. I'll be real authentic here. Yesterday, we were preparing for the fest, and I was kind of nervous. I was like, I feel like I'm not super ready, and like, I'm giving a talk tomorrow on hope, and I'm really scared. And I was like praying about it. I was like, God, like, tell me what to say. Holy Spirit, come. Why aren't you speaking, Lord? I need words. I need to write this down, you know. And I was nervous. And then I felt like God kind of like slapped me across the face, you know, in prayer. When he tells you something kind of obvious and you're like, oh, that's right. And I thought the Lord said to me, Grace, like, your hope is in me. Your hope is in me. Lord reminded me that I love each of you here, but my hope is not to be the cool staff member this week or to give you a talk that wows you. You know, my hope is in God, and he doesn't change. So if I come out here and I bomb my speech or I forget my notes, that's okay, because my hope is in God. And when I remember that in the chapel, I was like, oh, that's so good. Like, that's so freeing. It's so freeing when you realize, like, my hope is in Christ, and he won't let me down. He won't change, because he already won for me. He won over sin. He won over death. I can trust in him. And so I invite you this week to place your hope in Christ, to know that in Christ we are conquerors over suffering and over death, and to know that he wants you to encounter him. We aren't called to just know about him, but we're called to love him. And this week I invite you to be open with God, to give him where you're at, your heart. If that means you've like had a great time of prayer during quarantine, you're like, yeah, I'm really close with the Lord right now. I'm ready to like go deeper. Or if that means you've had a really hard time praying during quarantine, or you've had some challenges, you know, just give God whatever you have, wherever you're at. And so we're going to end with just two short songs of praise and worship as our prayer. And so I know this isn't always super comfortable, especially when you're with new people. And so I do invite you to perhaps spread out if you'd prefer to sit over here or even just stand on the ground or kneel. And we're gonna sing on the side because we're not singing to you, we're singing to the Lord. But yeah, when we sing, we give our all to God because he's given us our voice, you know. I don't know about you guys, I have a very imperfect voice, but you know, God gave it to me, so I'll give it back to him. But yeah, let's just remember that Christ, we've won with him, and he just wants you this week. He just wants to go deeper with you and to know you more. So our lyrics aren't working. Yay!
Praise God, man.
Maybe we could have a staff member turn the lights off so they're more visible. So yeah, if you want to take a hot sec to just like move around real quick so you're in a good place to pray for praise and worship.